Hello, and I'm Cordelia Kraft, and with me is
Lorelei Finock.
And this is the Need to Know News, episode 3. Today we're going to be talking about some of the election results, the candidates' reactions to these results, and the possible fraud and fraudulent votes that have been discussed recently. And I think we're going to start off with election results. So there are a lot of key states in any election. These are called battleground states, and these battleground states change from election to election. They're usually states that can go either way depending on the candidate. Like California, for example, is not a swing state. It's not a battleground state, and that's because it is almost always going to go Democratic, and that's because there's just such a large population of Democrats in that area that it would be pretty much impossible to swing it to Republican. But some of these battleground states are Pennsylvania, Michigan, Florida, Georgia, Ohio, Wisconsin, North Carolina. That's usually a Republican state, but we saw that it was very, very blue in the past election, and which was very surprising to a lot of people. Arizona and Nevada. So those were some of the key states in this 2020 election. And there were a lot of similarities between the 2016 election, like Florida. That's almost always a key state, and that was a swing state back in the election in 2000 between George Bush and Al Gore. And there was a lot of recount there, and that's been talked about a lot recently because of the sort of similarities between the recounts and things like that. But these swing states, they usually are pretty, they get called pretty late usually. And that's why a lot of people were complaining about how long it took for the votes to be counted in Nevada and how long it took for those states to be called. And when they were called, why it was so close. So in Pennsylvania,
with the initial counts, Nevada took the longest this year, right?
Yeah, it did. It took about 4 or 5 days after the election to finish counting, but it was called, I think, on the third day because there were too many votes in Biden's favor. Yeah. And so Pennsylvania, there were around 100,000 votes in Biden's favor, which out of the millions of people in Pennsylvania it's a lot. It's just not as many as it seems like compared to the entire population of Pennsylvania. And then in Michigan, there were 200,000 votes in Biden's favor. He was leading by 200,000 votes, which is quite a bit because Michigan's population is not as large as Pennsylvania's. And then Wisconsin, about 20,000 votes, which is, that's a very close race. And that's why there were a lot of recounts. In Georgia, there were 10,000 votes in Biden's favor, definitely close enough to call for a recount, which Trump did. And then in Nebraska, Biden got one of the votes because those are congressional districts and Nebraska is separated into two electoral votes and then one electoral vote, and Biden got one of them. Maine, Trump got one of the congressional votes and Biden got the rest. And then Arizona, Biden was leading about 10,000 votes, and then Nevada about 30,000 votes. And all of these numbers sound really big in the thousands of votes. But you have to really think about their population. In Georgia, leading by only 10,000 votes, that is so small out of the millions of people in Georgia. And I mean, you have to think about big cities like Atlanta and Georgia. So really, those were a lot of discrepancies there. And people were really worried about which way that would go because they weren't able to call it until they got the recount back.
And I think that's why there really was so many Trump supporters that were as suspicious as Trump was as far as voter fraud went, because the numbers in key states were so close. But I feel like the suspicion would go the same way if the numbers in key states were so far apart. So I don't know. I think it's how you look at it, really.
Yeah. Michigan was one that they were really hesitant to call on, and Biden led in that one by so much. And so you have to really think about it in the grander scale. And so one thing that I would like to talk about is what's called the blue wall. And though that is Pennsylvania, Michigan, and Wisconsin, all northern states, and they are your kind of industrial coal mining states that all went blue when Barack Obama was running. Both terms that he ran, they went blue. And it's shocking to see that those go blue because, Obama was very for climate change activism and anything like Biden's plan for the Green New Deal, things like that. He was very, very active about those things. And so to see those go blue, you really have to think about what an exciting candidate Barack Obama must have been to them. And Biden really, really wanted to get the blue wall back because in 2016, Hillary Clinton lost it because I think that she just didn't visit those states enough. There were not enough campaigns. She didn't have enough rallies in those states. And she really concentrated her focus on Florida, which was a mistake because she lost in Florida anyways. And Biden also lost in Florida by a lot more than her, actually.
There are just some states where I feel like it doesn't really matter how much attention you pay them. They're known for going one way or the other. They have similar population as they did 4 years ago. They're probably going to go the way that they have nearly always gone.
Yeah. But that was one thing that was really shocking about the 2016 election is that the blue wall went red and it voted in Trump's favor. And that was why he won by 306 electoral votes, which is what Biden won by. He won by 306 electoral votes, which I think was very strange, but
Oh,
he
how
won
the
by the
tables
same
have
margin.
turned.
Yeah, that kind of thing. And so those states were very important to Biden, and he spent a lot of time in his reelection like campaign and going to those states and everything, even from the very beginning, from the very end of 2019, he was visiting those states and he was rallying in those states. And even in Arizona, he did a lot of rallies in Arizona, which was shocking to everyone because nobody expected him to win Arizona. And everyone told him not to go there because it was going to go red, they all said. And he really kind of hammered down on those states. And we see that it paid off for him, which I think was really a point where he was successful in his rallies and things and visiting the states that he needed to visit. And Trump did that as well. He visited Pennsylvania, the entire Blue Wall, Michigan, Wisconsin. He didn't really go to Arizona. He didn't really go to Nevada. He didn't think he needed to, I think was the problem. But one thing that I will say that Biden's campaign sort of didn't do enough of was go to Florida, which was something that Hillary Clinton did, because I think that they accepted really early on that he wasn't going to win in Florida. And one of those states that really changed throughout the night, and watching the election throughout the night, you see so many things change. And one of those states that I would like to talk about was Ohio, because Ohio had a super, super big population of Republicans and more of the smaller counties and things like that. And usually Trump or any Republican candidate would bleed by such a large margin, like 80 to 20%. Or in the Republicans' favor, that they would just knock every, even with the cities on Biden's side, they would win. And they did win, the Republicans. They won Ohio, but it was really close. And I think that was in large part due to mail-in ballots. And
Yeah, no,
mail-in
I
ballots,
agree.
yeah.
I think that another big thing that a lot of politicians don't understand is that it's not always about capturing the audience of the opponent. Sometimes reinforcing your own audience is enough.
Yeah. Because when, I mean, the popular vote is not, it doesn't have any dictation. It's sort of just a throwaway number, really. It
Yeah.
doesn't have any power in the election. It's all about the Electoral College. But having that popular vote behind you, it really goes well for your sort of like rankings and your acceptance ratings and things like that. And I think it really goes a long way to help you, even in the Senate and in the House and things like that. So definitely hitting on states that you're definitely going to win is important, which I think is where Trump messed up, is he thought that he was going to win in Arizona and Nevada, and he didn't because
Yeah.
Biden really hammered those states with,
And
his rallies and things.
sometimes it's just better to avoid attacking and reinforce your own defenses. And I think
Yeah.
that that's something that not a lot of people, and Trump included, especially how he showed that this past election, just don't understand when it's needed or that it's needed at all.
Yeah.
which is, I feel, a very important part of just life in general.
Yeah. And I think that's really the most important parts of the Electoral College, the election night. There's obviously a lot more information, and definitely if you're interested in that, check that out. But I think that we're going to move on from that and go to the candidates' reactions. Lorelai?
Yeah, so to start, I'm going to go ahead and share my screen with you so you can see this. But it was I'd like to show you Kamala Harris's reaction to her and her running mate succeeding in the election. So that's a very short clip from The Guardian. But I think it's so interesting to see that, because a lot of people see politicians as politicians. It's like how we see our teachers or our parents, not necessarily as people, but as particular authoritative figures in our lives. And I think that's how people also view politicians and government officials. And I think that it's important, even if you don't agree with or understand the opposition's views, I think even if you are in opposition to Kamala Harris and Joe Biden, it's nice to see that reaction, because it shows a more human, more emotional side, as opposed to the normal, very authoritative, and usually very, very guarded.
You really only see the face that politicians want you to see whenever you watch debates or rallies or anything like that. So to see someone's raw emotional reaction to being told that news, it's something almost special, and it's definitely meaningful. And it really kind of highlights them as being more than just politicians, but as people. And yeah, I mean, and all politicians are people, but I just think that we don't ever get to see that.
And at that point, it doesn't matter if you agree with them politically or not. It feels good to see another person's work come to fruition.
Yeah. And I mean, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have spent their entire lives in politics and working towards these goals. And I don't think that Kamala Harris, being a prosecutor in California, ever dreamed that she would become the vice president. And I mean, Joe Biden, I can't imagine that he, growing up almost in a lower end area, thought that he would once be the president-elect of the United States, which it's very powerful to see something like that.
Yeah, it's nice to see the human side of the kind of people that you don't really get to see the human side of.
Yeah.
Moving on, when the polls were still being counted, I find it pretty interesting that both of the presidential candidates showed widely varying degrees of confidence, concern, and even like slight impatience. And we definitely got very high doses from that from Trump, from his tweets on Twitter throughout the night, to even the short victory speech that he gave.
I think victory speech is a very good way to put it, because that's exactly what it was. Yeah.
He was very overconfident, and it was almost disappointing to see, you know?
Yeah.
Because you never really, like, again, whether you agree with someone or not, it's never nice to see them in such an uncomfortable state, because at that point, while the voter numbers in Biden's favor were rising, this guy was over here live streaming a victory speech.
Yeah, and I remember Trump's almost his exact words as he declared victory. He said, "Frankly, we did win this election." And I remember that because I was just in disbelief watching it live, just staring at the screen after Biden's speech about how we feel really good where we are and how he was really happy with how it was turning out. And he kept saying that we feel really good. And that was really all he said, confidence wise. And for Trump to come on and just declare victory, to declare voter fraud and to stop the count, basically to say stop the count. It was scary. It was scary, I think, for a lot of people, no matter what political spectrum or which candidate you voted for. It is always scary to see such opposition in people that need to be working together moving forward.
Yeah, no, I agree. And his exact words after we got a majority of the election votes and people started, celebrating because Biden practically won at that point. His exact words was that the results of the presidential election should be seen as a, quote, fraud on the American people.
Oh, yeah, that's strong words, scary
Very
words.
strong words from the losing side.
Yeah.
I just, the utter confidence, even after he has lost, is
Yeah.
astounding to me. I
Yeah.
wish I had that confidence.
Yeah.
Like, that's
Yeah.
the things you could get done.
And I think Trump's sort of stubbornness and his unwillingness to accept the incoming results of the election really frustrated Biden, and his inability to begin the transition process, because I think Trump was withholding information, and well, I don't think I know he was withholding information about COVID-19 and a lot of the things, and he was sort of not wrongfully so, I would say, but stubbornly. He was withholding those things. And I think the mature thing to do would have been to help Biden, because he had been almost declared president-elect at that point,
Yeah,
and
but
he was
when have you known
leading by so
politicians to
much.
be mature?
That's very fair, yeah.
I mean, come on, Cordelia. You
Yeah,
should
what
know
am I even
better by
saying?
now. Politicians and maturity, please.
Completely agree. They can be children sometimes.
They are children nearly all the time.
Yeah. I think, do you have anything else you'd like to add on their reactions? Anything else?
No, I think we can move on.
Yeah, I think, so next we'll be talking about voter fraud and the claims on voter fraud, which have been vast and many. And I
Yeah,
think one
so
of the leading person making these claims has been Rudy Giuliani. He gave a speech to press where he sort of declared that any state that Trump had really lost in battleground states at least, was really a lot of voter fraud, and they needed to recount votes and they needed
which,
to discount
might I
votes.
add, was unnervingly similar to the victory speech that Trump gave on election night.
Yeah, I mean, Rudy Giuliani has been a loyal Trump supporter since the very beginning. Rudy Giuliani, if you don't know, is Trump's personal lawyer and has worked with him for years and years. And
It was like the exact same stagnant overconfidence. The
yeah.
same general tone. You can really see the parallels.
Yeah. And we definitely saw his loyalty to Trump in how he talked to the press, and he was very curt, and he said a lot of things that hadn't exactly been proven to be true. I think he made a lot of things up to make it seem like there was a lot more fraud
There was a
than
lot of
has been proven.
speculation.
Yeah, there was definitely a lot of
And there
speculation.
still is.
Yeah.
Even after votes being recounted, like in Michigan and Pennsylvania, and Biden still being shown as the winner, it's just wow.
Yeah. And we see even in Georgia the recount coming back in Biden's favor. And I think that was really, I think, the final blow, really. But there was not much else that they have given as proof to what their claims are, which is that the mass voter fraud that they are saying has happened in this election and the reason that they lost. So moving forward, I'm not exactly sure what their position will be to continue these claims and to prove these claims even. But if they can manage to prove voter fraud, then that would honestly be a miracle because there is so little point, evidence.
Yeah, it would have to be a miracle sent from God. Because it's the numbers we've got now are just radically in the opposite direction of what
Trump so wants. Heavily in Biden's favor. And Biden is even leading by, I think, 5 million in the popular vote at this point. I mean, by a large margin, larger than the margin that Hillary Clinton won the popular vote in 2016.
Yeah, that's just insane to me.
Yeah. I have nothing else to add. I think you should give your final remarks. I have nothing left to say.
I mean, I think it's going to be difficult these next few months to those of us who follow politics. I think it's going to be painful almost just because of all of the drama and all of the changes that are coming, but at this point, all we can do is sit back and watch and hope that our country doesn't fall apart.
Yeah. We can only hope.
Exactly, yes. Taking my own words out of my mouth, Cordelia. Quoting me to myself. All right. Well, this has been the Need to Know News.
Episode 3.
We will see you guys again in episode 4.